Well, morning and welcome to our continuing Bible study in the book of Luke, the Gospel according to Luke. And we're in chapter 13 today, and we'll be looking at verse 10 through 17. And last week we had the lesson on the parable of the fig tree and the importance of that. And now we're as he was there teaching in the synagogue, it tells us in Luke chapter 13, verse 10. We'll read these few verses here, and then we'll leap into our lesson. In Luke 13, 10, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And that's the title of our message today, "Thou art loosed." What a great message from the Lord to hear, "Thou art loosed." In verse 13, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and them therefore come and be healed, not on the Sabbath day." And the Lord answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall, and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Boy, what a tremendous description here of what's taken place. And some things that we could consider as we look at this. The greater context here is in regard to the purpose of Christ and being here to accomplish the redemption of the church. That was why he was here, not just to do things and do miracles and whatnot. His purpose was the redemption of the church, and he was about doing that. And as he went on his way, he was accomplishing that. And it's important for us to kind of, in the broad context here, to remember that all the people that we learn about in the scriptures, all the everything that was going on was in connection to the redemption of the church. And we turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 27 and 28 for a reminder of that, where it's written, "For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." So nothing is random, nothing is by accident. Everything is according to God's purpose, and this woman was there with this malady by God's purpose. He was there in this synagogue teaching on the Sabbath day. And in a few of our other lessons, we looked at some of the things that he might have been teaching, where they handed him the roll in Luke chapter 4, and he read from Isaiah, and he said, "This day, this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And teaching on the Sabbath day, he might have even been teaching them what the Sabbath was really about. And we kind of covered that as we looked through Hebrews chapter 4, the end of chapter 3 and chapter 4, where it talks about entering into the Lord's rest, and we'll look at that here in a bit. But here this woman has an infirmity 18 years, bowed down by the impact of the infirmity, and she's there by God's purpose. I thought it was interesting that she was going to, even in her condition, she was going to the synagogue, going to where she supposedly would have expected help, and yet up until this day there wasn't any help. but today, by God's ordaining, there was help. And And how many these days go to a religious establishment and they seek relief and get none? And not only that, they're not directed to the one who can provide relief. There was Christ right there, and the rulers of the synagogue didn't say, you need to talk to him, you need to get alone with him, he can take care of your problem. And no, that was the opposite. Their reaction was the opposite. And you know, when a person goes to a house of God, or they tune in to hear us via sermon audio or Zoom or whatever, they have a right to expect to hear about God, about the one who saves his people from their sins. They have a right to hear about him only who can help, and because there's salvation in none other. There's salvation belongs to him. And you know, in a couple of lessons back, we read a passage from Matthew chapter 23 verse 13, where it's one of those times when the Lord was pronouncing woe on the scribes and the Pharisees, and he says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You pretend to be religious, but you just worship me with your lips, but not with your heart. He says, you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, and you don't go in yourselves, and you don't suffer them that are entering to go in. You're a block. You're a hindrance. And what an awful proclamation against those that are in that position, even in this very day. People would go to a place where they might expect to hear the gospel, and yet they'll hear some social argument or some political diatribe or many things, none of which have to do with the gospel, and none of those things help. The only thing that makes any impact on anything is the gospel, and that's what God uses. God chose by the foolishness of preaching. And not from, well, here's a list of stuff you should do and here's a list of stuff that you shouldn't do, or here's some political events that are going on in the world that should make you afraid, or all those kind of things. That there's probably endless sermons going on today about Ukraine and those kind of things. But you know, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ coming down to save his people from their sins. That's what makes a difference. And so it's the responsibility of those tasked to feed the sheep and to declare the gospel, to tell out in clear terms the Almighty God who alone can and does save his people. You know, Yvonne and I were traveling the other day, I couldn't remember just where it was, but it came to me this morning that we're driving through downtown, and there was a fellow that's frequents the post office downtown, and he's down there hours and hours and hours every week holding up various signs about end times and this and that. And he held up a sign the other day that said, God is limited by sin. I couldn't believe my eyes. What kind of a nincompoop thing was that to say? God is limited by sin. Well, that is not, he is not limited by sin. If he was, we're all in real serious trouble here. but you know what? It's just impossible to comprehend the preposterous nature of that message, but people like that can only tell what they know. If they don't know the gospel, they can't declare that. If he knew the gospel, he'd be holding up a different sign. But, you know, I don't know where he attends to worship, but who would enter there to hear about someone who could do nothing about the problem of sin because they're limited? Who would do that? I mean, what sense would that make? That woman would not go to the synagogue if she hadn't had some kind of a hope that maybe something could be done. And it, of course, the condition that she was in, it's a metaphor for the condition that we're all in. We're all bowed down by the weight of sin. We're all in that malady. But, you know, saying that God is limited and he can't do anything, it's a horrendous. And such language it promotes a false idea that if God is limited because of sin, then really it's kind of up to you to remedy that somehow before you can come to him for salvation. You need to take care. You need to stop doing whatever you're doing. You remember a couple of lessons ago we had the case of the blind man, and the disciples said, well, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? So they had their natural view of things was, in a prior life, this guy had sinned because he was born blind, so he had to have committed some sin before he was born in order, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Or his parents committed some kind of heinous sin, and that was their punishment, that they had a blind child. But the Lord says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, generally speaking, but they didn't commit a sin that was attributed to this malady. He said, this man is here because so that the work of God can be manifest. He's here for a purpose of God Almighty at this very point in time to intersect with the one who could help him. The one that, and we all have that picture of that spiritual blindness that typifies, and how he erased that. He put the clay on his eyes, spit on the dirt and made some clay and put it on the guy's eyes. And then he said, now go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he came away seeing, and then he glorified God because of what was done. And so saying that God is limited because of sin, that's just not found in the Bible. It is just not. And what is found in the Bible is God, who's not limited by anything. It says he is almighty. He is the Lord God Almighty. And, he's the God that applies 100% of his unlimited attributes and unlimited abilities to save his people from their sins. And he is 100% successful in that endeavor. He is not limited. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. That's what the Bible says. So, there's a scripture in Isaiah chapter 59. We just read this one verse there in Isaiah 59:1. Says, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. And that is the exact opposite of what that fellow's sign said. Neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. And, recently our pastor brought our attention recently to the gospel record of John in chapter 6. And in that context of that block of scripture in John chapter 6, many people, there was multitudes that heard and saw. They heard Christ talk. They heard him tell about why he was there. And they saw what he did, all the miracles that he produced, but most of the time we find it was not mixed in with faith in all those who heard and saw. in John chapter 6, after he did all those miracles, and then he brought a bit of biblical truth, many turned and walked no more with him. At John 6:66. That number. they said, well, that's a hard saying. We don't like that sovereignty issue one bit. And they turned and left. And then he turned to the disciples and they said, well, are you going to go too? And they said, well, you have the words of life. And you're not going anywhere. And how wonderful that is. But many saw and heard, but, not being mixed with faith, it had no impact on them other than it was maybe somewhat entertaining to see what he did and hear the latest thing. Oh, they could talk about it at the water cooler the next day at work. Oh, did you hear all the things that Jesus did? And that was crazy. He said, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, but he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you have seen me and believe not. Isn't that interesting? He said right to you've seen me, and yet you don't believe. They would not and could not see or believe, and consequently they would not or could not come to him. Because he said, come unto me with all ye that are heavy burdened and I will give you rest. All the Father giveth me, though, shall come to me. That makes the difference right there. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, from the rest of that in John chapter 6, verse 37. What a difference that makes. And you know, he came to save sinners. He's not limited. He wrote to Timothy and he said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That was his view of himself. I'm the chief sinner. And he, I'm sure it just ate on him all the time to say, you know, I persecuted the church and I hauled away many in chains to be brutalized and sometimes even killed. And he says, but I did it in ignorance, but you know, it doesn't help much. But God used it according to his purpose to save much people alive. And so he has all power. You know, he's not limited. In Matthew 28:18 says, all power is given unto me. All power. How can you be limited if you have all power? So back to our text in Luke chapter 13 here regarding this woman that's bowed down. She's just stooped over and can't look up. And boy, what a picture. What a picture of us in our natural condition in sin. She had no ability to raise up. She had no ability to raise up from this infirmity. Said she could in no wise lift up herself. And that's how we are by nature before the Lord has mercy on us. We can't lift up ourselves. From there in Luke 13:11. You know, we find here that the next thing that we read is Jesus saw her as his. A daughter, he calls her a daughter of Abraham there in verse 16. He saw her and called her to him. And you know, that's what we find, that how he works things. And it's she was a daughter of Abraham, but not just by natural lineage. You know, we've covered that topic many times. He said God is able to raise up stones unto Abraham here. And Paul said, just because you're Abraham's seed doesn't count for anything. It's the seed of the promise. That's what counts. In Romans 9:6, he says, not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for the seed. And her issue, you know, I just have a mental picture of him teaching in the synagogue, and he sees this one of his elect, one of his sheep, one of his church, bowed down by this malady. And he looks at her and says, she's mine. I'm going to fix her. Her plight was obvious, a physical malady, which really was just a metaphor for the underlying problem of sin. And, you know, maybe to the world it just seemed like bad luck or another case of who did sin, this woman or her parents. And, you know, in religion often the focus is on the cause, and the remedy that they prescribe is to the physical and not to the spiritual need. Well, if you wouldn't go out playing cards or going to the movie show or the dance hall or something, you wouldn't be in that condition. Stop doing that and you'll be okay. And stop your social problems and then maybe that'll help your spiritual. But it's quite the opposite way around, that if you take care of the spiritual issues, then the rest of the things resolve themselves. It's what we find The Lord said, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy, that are labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And you know, it was that Sabbath day, the day of rest, that he was teaching. And here we have a situation where he's teaching not only in word, but in deed. He's doing the very thing that he was there for. He goes to them. He goes to this synagogue, and this woman is there. And you know, we find often in the scriptures there that he goes to them. Sometimes he goes to them on the shore, like that maniac from Gadara, and sometimes in the workplace, like Levi the publican. He went way out of his way to go over to this tax booth where on a main road where Levi worked, and tax people coming into the area. He taxed them for the Romans, and one time he went to the tree and looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, you come down. I must abide at your house today." So sometimes he goes to us on the road, like those ones in Emmaus, and he comes to us. And when he did, he took care of her problem. He said, "Woman, thou art loosed." Hallelujah. When the Lord does that for his people, they just say, "Oh, thank God." And that's what she did. You know, it says she glorified God when he cured her, and she was able to raise up and see who it was that looked him in the face and that did that for her. She glorified God. And that's what we do. In Psalm 107, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And isn't that just what she did? I think Brother Mike did a sermon, a message on that. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's available there on Sermon Audio. And that's what he said. If the Lord has done a work in your life, then say so. It's not, "Well, here's what I did. I do all these things, all these rules I've kept from my youth up. What else do I need to do?" But when we're redeemed of the Lord, we say, "He did it all." He took care of it. Thank you, God. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." And further on down there in that chapter 107, verse 20, he said, "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." And anybody that's had that happen to them knows just what that means. And they're just so thankful. They just give him the praise and the glory for taking care of their issue. And when in our normal condition, we wouldn't go there. We didn't want, "I can handle this on my own. I can take care of my own problems." And you know, in this woman, in her former condition, she couldn't look up. And now she can, and did look up and saw who made her whole. And we look at this in the broader context here. I wanted to look at too the purpose of healing on the Sabbath. You know, the Lord knew that was going to just put these religious folks over the edge, but that had to happen. They were gathered together for to do what the Lord God Almighty determined before to be done, and they didn't need much encouragement. Every time he did something, they saw their power dwindling away, and they saw their base eroding away, and it was just they didn't like it. They were losing control, and that meant more to them than the Word of God being declared and published, the view of this act by the religious leaders was a hypocritical view, the Lord calls it. hypocrite, an actor, you know, one that says one thing and does another. And they were there for worship. They were in the house of God for worship. And they appointed someone each Sabbath to read the scripture. And then they would all nod and agree, and yet they didn't believe much of it. And not attracted to Christ by this miracle. Isn't that amazing? Here this woman, 18 years she'd probably been coming to this synagogue, and 18 years she was all hunched over, couldn't raise herself up. And with a couple of words and a touch, Jesus raised her up, healed her. And yet they didn't say, thank God for that. They didn't glorify God. They said, you know what? If you want to be healed, you should come on a work day. There's 6 days in the week. Those are the days when it's legitimate to come here and be healed. Not today. And what a hypocritical view of that. And they were incensed by this act being exercised on the Sabbath day, and their word was, come and be healed on a regular work day, not the Sabbath. And I was reading that, and I thought, well, the way they approach it, well, you could just come here and be healed any old day you want, but not today. But, you know, the Lord said the Sabbath was made for men and not men for the Sabbath. They had things kind of turned around. It just became a ceremonialized ritual. And you're not allowed to do any work on the Sabbath. You're not allowed to do anything. You can't carry any load. You can't do anything of a work nature. But they missed the spiritual point of what that was signifying. And it was signifying, in Hebrews, it tells us, the rest that God entered into after the creation. And it says, in 6 days he created everything, and on the seventh day he rested. And in Hebrews it tells us about entering into his rest. If you'd like to turn over there to Hebrews chapter 4. We'll just read a bit of that. It tells us so much about that. And, it starts at the point where the people were taken out of Egypt, and all those people that were in the wilderness. And yet, the scriptures say they all died in the wilderness except just a couple because of unbelief. In Hebrews 4:1, it says, let us, therefore, fear lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, as well as those people in the wilderness. They had the gospel. They had the cloud by day and the fire by night, and the tabernacle and all all of the elements of that declared the Lamb of God. All those things, and yet the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it, not being mixed with total reliance on Christ. And it was just something to do. It was just an assignment. It was just works for the most of them. And it says, for we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, he's the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. And he said the Lord gave him a people before the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, another place where it's written in the scripture, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief, And again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, anybody that's entered into God's rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. And that's what in just a few sentences, he clears up all this Sabbath craziness, that it was just a picture of not trying to do your own works for salvation. It's not of works, lest man should boast. It's not of him that willeth, not of him that runneth. It's God that showeth mercy. And so if we enter into the total reliance on Christ for salvation and cease from our own works, we've entered into that Sabbath rest, as it's called here. And we've ceased from our own works. And that's a hard thing to admit. That's a hard thing to say, well, there's nothing I can do. It's up to God, and we trust Him to accomplish that, because He is Almighty and He is 100% successful. So this picture of Him healing on the Sabbath day, there was a dual purpose there. It emphasized this message of entering into His rest. It emphasized that He was there for a purpose. And it emphasized the natural nature of those that were in charge, that they needed to be at a point where they were going to have Him arrested, crucified, and killed. And that's what it tells us in Acts 2:23 and in Acts 4, where we just read. They were all there for the purpose of delivering Him up to be the sacrifice for the people that God gave Him in their place. And so we have all these things rolled into one spot there in this scripture. Healing on the Sabbath day, healing one of His own, she glorifying God because of he did only what He could do, and the religion didn't help her much. And they were actually anti-help to her. Not only did they not help her, they were opposed to the help that she could get. And boy, you know, that's just one thing that we always say here, is that the gospel is the only thing that helps, and it's our job to promote the gospel, to declare it out in clear terms, that Christ died for the ungodly. Even when we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly, and he came and dwelt among men for that very purpose. And as this woman showed, he just healed her in an instant, and she was made straight. Interesting term there. She was not bent down in the bondage of her malady. She was made straight, lifted up out of the pit. So we'll stop there, and next time we'll take up with our next block of scripture in Luke chapter 13. And until next time, thank you for your attention. And to those out there in sermon audio, thanks for tuning in. And we'll talk to you later. Until next time, be free.